Greetings to everyone. Greetings to everyone here at the monastery and everyone online on Zoom as well. We've come here to practice the Dhamma during this time period, starting today on the 26th of July up until the 2nd of August. So about 8 days of retreat together. And so we see that all of you have this intention to come develop your minds. So some have joined these retreats before, whether in person or online. And during this particular retreat, it's during the monastic range retreat as well, what we call the Pansa or Vasa. So all the monastics are gathered and ready for the retreat, and all of you as well. And so we have the group that manages the retreat. We have many people from Singapore, Malaysia, and at the monastery already. And the people at the monastery are ready to give teachings, to train the mind of everyone to improve, to become better. And we take a look at this mind, or citta in Pali. So what is that? Well, it's one type of natural element. It says citta, this mind. It's the knowing element, the element that knows. And we need to train it because the mind, this citta, it's not intelligent. It's not smart. So it receives a sense impression. And today, or these days, we get sense impressions and information and moods very quickly. We know or receive them quite a lot and very quickly as well. And so if we don't have wisdom, then it's just creating agitation and chaos. The mind becomes hot because it's all about the self, all about me, mine, you and yours. So it's all about the self all the time. And so the sense of self arises even more. And the peace of mind goes away. The peace and tranquility of mind is gone. So we need to learn and study to give rise to wisdom. And this wisdom, this panya, it's knowing according to the truth, knowing the truth of conditioned formations, knowing materiality and mentality, knowing physical form, feeling, tone, perceptions, mental formation, sense consciousness, that which the mind clings to as self, as me and mine. And clinging to it as self, then dukkha arises. But the Buddha is the one who knows this, who's known this already, knowing it clearly, that all materiality and mentality in truth is not self. It merely arises, persists for a little while, and ceases. So seeing that everything that arises passes away. So we're not able to find any lasting essence, any self there. We can't find it. And so the mind that's not yet intelligent, not yet smart, it clings, and so we need to train it. We need to train the mind in the meditation object, the kamatana. This kamatana, it's the place of work, the place where we do our work to make the mind peaceful. Because usually the mind is just lost in these sense impressions and moods, chases after them, as liking, disliking, sometimes angry, sometimes feeling attraction or love, sometimes hate, sometimes fear. And so all these different moods arise a lot. But we don't see it clearly. We take it all as self ever since we've been born. And the time where the mind's peaceful just doesn't exist. It's like we have a house or a home, a place to give our body rest. But do we have a house for our mind? Do we have a home for our mind? This is a question that Venerable Ajahn Chah asked. So we need to seek out a home for our mind, a home for our heart. In the beginning, the home for the mind is samadhi, this quality of peace and collectedness. It's a place to rest the mind, to rest the mind in stillness, to give the mind a place to rest, a house or a home. So first, when we start out, the mind's not peaceful. So we train the mind to know this place of rest. We train the mind to have a place of rest. But when we are able to rest the mind in peace, the kilesas, the defilements, are not yet done and gone. They're merely suppressed temporarily. So we need to continue learning to the point where the defilements actually exit, the defilements exit from the mind. This is according to the teachings of the fully self-awakened Buddha. So we see this way, this path that the Buddha knows already, that in truth, materiality and mentality are impermanent, stressful, and not self. This is the way out. This is the way out from the mind that clings. And there is only this way. It's the only path. So we need to walk this path to make the mind gather on this path. And so for wisdom to arise, we need this quality of peace and collectedness through our meditation object. So for instance, we can look at the in and out breathing. And when we train watching the in and out breathing, we let go of any thoughts, or proliferation of mind, any discursive thinking. And we train the mind that now is the time to bring the mind to peace, to train the mind. So whether we're sitting meditation, walking meditation, we practice to stop the proliferating mind, the thinking mind. So whatever it is about the world, all these different stories and issues, we put it down, establish mindfulness in the present, just being with the in and out breath. And so this is one method. Or with the in-breath, we count one, with the out-breath, one. And we can count like that all the way up to in-breath, five, out-breath, five. Then all the way up to six, going back to one, all the way up to seven, back to one, all the way up to, and so forth, up to 10. In-breath, 10, out-breath, 10. So that's one method we can use. Or with the in-breath, we count one, at the nose, at the end of the nose, two at the chest, three at the navel, and with the out-breath, one at the navel, count two at the chest, and three at the nose. So in-breath, one, two, three, out-breath, one, two, three. So we know the breath well in that way. And the mind, or we can also just know the breath in, know the breath out, recite boot with the in-breath and do with the out-breath. And when the mind truly becomes still, then the word bhutto disappears on its own. The mind's peaceful. At this point, we feel rapture and happiness. And this is a type of happiness that we've never met with before. It's something quite amazing and miraculous. And so to reach this, we make the effort to control the mind, to bring it to peace. It's bringing the mind to peace in samadhi. It's not easy. So we control the mind, bring it to peace, and we're able to reach stillness, able to put things down. And this is something amazing and miraculous. It's another type of happiness. A type of happiness that we don't need to go anywhere to find. All we have to do is just stop thinking and proliferating, have mindfulness in the present. And this, so this samadhi is able to arise. And then at this point, we learn about wisdom, to see all rupa and nama, materiality and mentality, that it all arises, stays for a while, and ceases. This is wisdom. This leads to letting go. So in order to develop wisdom, we need this peace and samadhi. And for samadhi, we need virtue, sila. So we come together to practice in this retreat period. And for the retreat period, we undertake the 8 precepts. And normally, one would have the effort to maintain the 5 precepts first. And then we go from one who doesn't know about sacrifice and giving, and then we practice that, this giving of the energy of body and mind. And this helps to abandon the sense of self, to cut away at the sense of self. So this is the practice of dana, or generosity. It abandons the sense of self, or cuts away at the sense of self. And so this is one way to train the mind that the Buddha taught. There's dana, generosity, sila, virtue. The benefit of this is samadhi, this peace. And it doesn't harm oneself, doesn't harm others. And it results in this happiness and ease of mind. But we don't stop there, because the mind is still not intelligent, still has suffering, still has wrong view, still has the sense of self, has anger, hatred, attachment, jealousy, and so on, many different types of unwholesome qualities, which we call defilement or kilesa. That leads to dukkha or suffering. And there's these many threads of craving, the 2 eyes, from the 2 eyes, the 2 ears, nose, tongue, body, mind. There's this craving, this upadana, this attachment to the 5 khandhas, the body, feeling, tone, perception, mental formation, sense consciousness. So the defilements arise right here, and we suffer right there. So we think wrongly, this leads to suffering. And we don't want to think in ways that lead us to suffering, but we're not able to control it. So we need to train the mind anew to have right view, to have wisdom. This right view, this wisdom. So we train to abandon all the types of wrong view and to cultivate right view. So we might have a lot of happiness in the world. We have everything we need. We're not lacking for anything. We have the 4 requisites. We see that these conditioned formations, that material form, this outer wealth, it's not able to prevent the degradation of these things. These sankharas, these conditioned formations, fall apart and degrade. Illness arises. So we see that dukkha, suffering, is waiting for us. It's waiting for us in the future. So we can't be heedless. So we make effort to train the mind, to give rise to understanding, to clear knowing. Sometimes we perceive illness, or someone else gets an illness, and we don't really know or understand. But when illness arises for ourselves, then we see that this body, it's suffering in this way, it's torturous in this way. Or we experience for ourselves separation from the loved, and we suffer again through that. So this is the mind with wrong view. So we train it to give rise to right view. Firstly, with having right view in terms of generosity and virtue, having already. But the peace and samadhi is not yet stable. So we need to train the mind to see the drawbacks in these moods and sense impressions. So just like we're doing on this very retreat, we come to develop the mind, to change the mind from wrong view changing it gradually bit by bit to right view. Because any time the mind has right view, then wrong view is dispersed or eliminated right there. So we do goodness, we do merit, the mind becomes bright and radiant through that, and we develop wisdom, and in this way suffering reduces or is eliminated.